Rav. Oh, sorry. Call from Rav. Call. Sorry. Mao Shioka. What should he get Malkus by when he eats corn? When the person eats not corn based, I will tell you about here. Chametz, of course, but chametz which is in the form of beer or some other type of tarovis chametz, a mixture of chametz. Rabbi Yehuda b'Shem Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Lo b'Shem Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lo, we haven't had in a while. Rabbi Lo, named Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, said afdukos ain't a loke. You don't even get Malkus. You know why? The Tani, we learned. The Lieberman throws in here a girsa, which is not really necessary, but it helps. He throws in the words that Milsa de Rav Amara Afliuko Sena Loke. We'll learn from Rav that you don't get Malkus on drinking beer or such like. The Tani, we learned how Chametz Borur Chayev Kores. If it's clearly Chametz, you get Kores. Vali Ruvo, if it's a mixture of Chametz Sofei Garboim, you get 40 lashes. Rav said, interpreting this price of Rav Omar, what's the Tarovus Chametz we're discussing here? Zesiur. It's when you have a dough which shows signs of Chametz. Little, you know, it's getting cracked a little bit. So that's the Tarovus Chametz in which you get Malkus. It's not fully Chametz yet, but has obviously Chimutz mixed into it, and you get Malkus. So says the Gemara, V'omar, which is like the Baal Yerushalmi has all over, V'yomar, let him say Zakuta Chabavli V'sheikh Ramadi. Why is he saying Tarovus Chametz is this wild case of, you know, not wild, but obscure case of where the dough starts cracking? Tell us in a straight out case. Kutach, you know, part of the Babylonian porridge, or Sheikh Ramadi, the beer. It must be that he holds, they don't get Malkus in those cases. You don't get Malkus in Tarovus Chametz, where the Chametz is part and parcel of the substance, which of the dough, you know, Seor, as opposed to a case where you have a little bit of Chametz mixed in to sell a lot of something else, such as the Babylonian porridge, where the little pieces of bread, or the beer, where they're little, of course, little trace amounts of barley. So it must be that the Tarovus Chametz yields must be far more substantial. And in fact, the Tosfos Reed brings down that the Rambam Paskins like this. Rambam Paskins that in order to get Malkus on Pesach, you need to have, in Tarovus Chametz, you need to have a Kizayis Bichtei Achilas Pras. Not in time, but in the consistency. The consistency in the mixture has to be a Kizayis in every Pras, meaning a ratio of 1 to 6 or 1 to 8, of the mixture has to be actual chametz, and not just some tarovus, which is much lesser proportion than that. So that tarovus chametz, you don't get chametz, don't get malchus. Amrei Bun Bar Kahana. Rabbi Bun Bar Kahana gave another interpretation of the brisa. Kumi Rabbi Lo, I said in front of Rabbi Lo, Tipater b'chametz u'matzah shenisarvu. He said, maybe the Tarovus Chametz which you get Malkus on, and it's still not Sheikh Ramadi, it's not the beer or the porridge, but maybe it is still where Chametz and Matzah got mixed together. Chametz and Matzah Chenis Arvu. They got mixed together, so that's the Tarovus Chametz in which you get Malkus. So it says, no, I don't like that. Rabbi Yosef said, Kosh Yusal Adod Rabbi Bun Bar Kahana. I asked that which Rabbi Bun Bar Kahana said. Manakam, what are you talking about? Im B'Sheruba Chametz, if the majority of the mixture is Chametz, Chayev Kares. You're dealing with a roving mute here of opposite things, chametz versus matzah. So if the majority is of the mixture is chametz, so that's the chumam matzah's bata barov, what is it? It's chametz, right? So you get kares, not malchus. And if on the other hand, im b'sherubo matzah, if the majority is matzah, so also bata barov midaraisa, yaitse maybe de chobas u'pezach. So hypothetically, on a deraisa level, of course, you yaitse chiv of matzah with it. Of course, midrabana and chametz is also b'mashu. Midaraisa should be bata barov. So that can't be the case in which we're talking about malchus, because either they're there, midaraisa is either kores or matzah. And it can't be something in between. I'm Rabbi Shura Yitzhak. Let's try another teretz. I'm Rabbi Shura by Yitzhak. Tana Rabbi Yeshua Unya, whoever that is, Rabbi Yeshua Unya said, the case where you get Malkus is Sheyesh B'chometz, a mixture of Chometz, Vein B'Gazayis, but there isn't a Gazayis. If there's no Gazayis, how do you get Malkus? So he says, Krabi Shimon, Rav Shimon Kol Shul Malkus. We don't pass Rav Shimon, of course. Rav Shimon Sheet, however, appears primarily in Malkus, as you see on the side. Rav Shimon holds that there's no shear in order to get Malkus, even on a less than a gazai to get Malkus. So this is going like Rav Shimon. Our brother Bryce says in Tarov is coming to get Malkus. It's not regular Tanoim, regular Tanoim hold, you don't get Malkus on Tarovus Chometz. It's only Rav Shimon who says that even less than Gazayis you get Malkus, so in Tarovus, despite the fact less than Gazayis, you get Malkus.
This kosher Malkus is not limited to Chometz.
No, any cheeseburgers. Any love. Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzhak, B'shem Rab, both said name Rab. Kedera Shabisho Ba Mother. Now, Mother, nobody knows what it is. So several Gersos here. The Mashbiach changes it to Modai, meaning beer, Persian, the Median beer, which is a Tarovus Chometz. Lieberman doesn't like that. He says something similar, but it's not quite the same. He says that it's some sort of also a Tavshil, some mixture of some dish which has a mixture of Chometz in it. Now, the Or Sameach, though, he changes the Girsa to Chamira, which is mamish chametz. Chamira is like we say in chukol chamira v'chamira, right? So in any event, there's a tremendous kulah in Yerushalmi, which is what bothers everybody. So this is a pot which you cook chametz. Lo yivashu bo miosamin. You cannot cook chametz again. You cannot cook chametz or matzah, meaning anything of that type. Let's say you cooked chametz matzah balls before Pesach, no bread kugel type thing. So on Pesach you can't cook in it matzah because it's min b'mino, it's not butter. But hamimin acher mutter, to cook some other type of food in that pot is mutter, even on Pesach. Uvad lacher shloshet tavshil, as long as you cook three other things in the middle. So let's say you cook before Pesach in a pot matzah balls, and then you cooked soup, rice, assuming that it's kosher Pesach, and potatoes, right? So then right afterwards you can cook in it matzah for Pesach. So the Lieberman is bothered that the Yerushalmi seems to have such a tremendous kula. So he says, he brings on the gears of the Itur. The Itur has gears and says that it's all about the issue of using the pot after Pesach, that it shouldn't be chametz over lover Pesach. It's on Pesach itself, you can use it, but if you use it three times, something else, and after Pesach, right, it's not chametz over lover Pesach, and you can use it again without having cleaned it out in any other way. But the pashas in Yerushalmi is that right away, that even on Pesach, you can use the pot for whatever you want, as long as you cook three other things in the interim.
Why three times?
Well, we had that already before. We met, if you want to consecrate something for Pesach, a glass, so you fill it up three times, or leave it for 3 days filled with water. It's not that the three necessarily does things, but Chazal always said two things in sets of three. That's a general principle throughout Chazal. Threes establish chazaka, threes establish patterns, threes already, threes make things definitive. So you ask me, could one be enough? By tefillah, for example.
If I was in Ben Yoma, I would have said, all right, that makes sense.
No, but Ben Yoma obviously would be an alternate heter, which we're not using here. We're not using heter Ben Yoma. But that ain't a Ben Yoma. But the thing is that another good example is tefillah. A woman, when she goes to mikvah, is tovel three times. Why is she tovel three times? She must be tovel once, right? But in order to, out of three, mitzvah one is good. So to here, I would say the same thing. Out of three, mitzvah one cooking was complete. That's what I would say. That's the same type of idea. Okay? Kashem shubat al she'eno mino, kachi bat al mino. So says Marano Stan, why after the three cycles in the middle, you can only cook eno mino, cook the same min? What's the difference? Kosher based on matzo balls now. So says, no, min ma'or al mino lasor. Mean this so language used in the Bavli, choser v'nimor, meaning that mean b'mino the Yerushalmi holds is eino batel, and therefore if there's additional chumrah to use mino afterwards, so if it came into contact with some mashu which was still left in the pot, so then mean b'mino is not batel and it would be usher. So therefore it's a chumrah that after the three times, the fourth time when you cook something kosher l'Pesach, you should dafka make eno mino, so eno mino is mevato, whatever might perhaps be left after those three-time cycle are over.
Although the three things that you're cooked, the three cycles, you're cooking anal meno.
Well, what? True.
They're still worried about...
But, yeah, still worried after even after the third time. Yeah. Okay?
What still strikes me about Rob's statement is, in contrast to Shmuel's statement, I forgot where, that he says he threatens the pot makers before Pesach unless the price goes down. He's going to say you're allowed to use klicheris even, the chumstick of pots.
Yeah. But he had that thing in the Bavli. It was in Yerushalmi. I don't remember
it. It was not Yerushalmi. It was in the Bavli. It's Bavli,
okay.
I don't remember where. So, I don't... It seems like, on its face, Rob is saying really the opposite of what Shmuel was saying. Because Shmuel was saying it's obviously, really usher. And I don't know.
He's being made kill.
But it's more of a...
No, but if anything, it's the same. I don't know if I agree with you. Because Shmuel is saying there that it's mutter, really. Just we're machmer to use new pots. And so to Rob's saying also the same thing. It's mutter, really. We're machmer to use new pots. By the way, in the Israeli army, in most army camps, they do not have kosher Pesach pots. They use all these heterim in kashering pots for Pesach. You know, they in a ben yoimo and cooking other things in between.
Not klicheris pots.
No, not klicheris, but,
metal,
right, but it's impossible to kasher it properly because they don't have separate pots. So, we're just so machmir. So, I don't know, I think Shmuel Rav are both coming to say that the baseline halacha is lenient. I don't know. I would say they're both being lenient in that respect. Okay. Says I'm Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavti. Rabbi Avo Mifaki L'Tochnai. Rabbi Avo used to command the people who grind the grain, the Lola Meitan Kupaya Ilin Al Ilin, not to put sacks one on top of each other. The Lola Yartchan, that they shouldn't get warm Biachman, and as a result ferment and become chametz. Achina my Papa Azal Lay L'Gabi Tochnaya. Rabbi Achina my Papa used to go to the grinders to be Mashgiach himself. Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Bun tochan leitzaref. Now everybody gives a different shot on what this word means. The Karban Eda means explains that he used to go to jewelers, tzarfim, or jewelers, to use their grinders, which he used to grind gold and silver because he didn't trust the flour grinders from the rest of the year to kasher out properly for Pesach. So he used to use the grinders, which are normally used for metal, in order to kasher, it's in order to grind this grain for Pesach. That's the
So that's where the name Hatzorfim comes from.
Hatzorfim is from Sud, yeah. Right, the chain. Right, means a jeweler. Yeah. The Pnei Moshe says that he used to grind little by little in order to make sure that it was kosher, and then Tzoraf used to bind them together. The Mashbiach says, the wildest shot I ever saw in the Mashbiach, I think. Mashbiach says he was Mitzarif and Minyan to go grind. It was we grind the matzah meal with a minion. I don't know exactly why what the minion does. Lieberman brings down. He actually brings down the Shari Torah Eretz Yisroel, which is a sefer on the Yushami, which says that it's a typo. It should say Tochan Le Kol Tzorkei. Tochan Le Tzorkei. In other words, he would grind the wheat for his own use and not allow anybody else to grind the wheat for him. So nobody knows exactly what it should have said there, but there are various different interpretations. Rabbi Avun Harei Tuchnai, Rabbi Avun used to tell the... I'm going to learn this like Lieberman, which is a fascinating interpretation. Rabbi Avun used to tell the grinders, Meitan to put, it changes this to tetratone, which is a revius. Tetra is a fourth. So a tetratone de moi, a revius of water, begin midaya in each measure of grain, and this should be umisnavneh, and mix it up arba zimnin four times. In other words, he holds a very interesting thing. He brings it down from some rishon, I forget who, the Itur, that the Ushami holds that it's a mitzvah also to moisten the grain of the which you're going to grind for matzah. Even though we don't anymore. We of course we don't moisten nowadays because then it could start fermenting. But the Ushami holds, according to Ita, that there's a din, Ushmartem Samatzos, which means you have to put them in a danger that they could become chametz and preserve them that they don't become chametz. So therefore he's telling them how to make the grain moist for the purpose of Pesach by putting in a very little water in a large amount of grain and then turning it over and over again, and hopefully that will not be enough to make to start the process in a way which is going to make it too difficult for you to be shomer it. It's an interesting shot. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Manachar Amar Bizvin Shari. When you have grain for Pesach, one said you're allowed to put it down on grass because grass is not that wet. Matnon also, but on mud, you can't put it down because mud is wetter. Rechon Michlev, the other said the exact opposite. Armachanina braid Rav Hillel. Rechina son of Rav Hillel said, Rafilo commanded Marba, son of Mishari, even he who said it's permissible to put it on top of grass. Only beloktam sheshol somehow, only dry grass which has been harvested or cut. Actually, I don't know if it has to be harvested and cut. Only grass, which is in the afternoon, after 6 hours. Why? There's the next word should be lama. Why? The tala feigim, we know by this time the afternoon comes, so the dew is already dried up. It's gone away from them. So in the morning, you can't put the grain on grass because it's not dry enough to prevent it from fermenting.
Well, it says the grass was cut, right?
Not necessarily.
What's the word belokta then?
Oh, good point. I skipped that word. Yeah, I guess it is grass which was cut and it's drying. It's actually has dried till the afternoon. All right, below them show us about. Good point. Sorry, I apologize. Okay, halacha base. Potzik shebesit keavei reva. You have a mixing pot which has cracks, and in the cracks you have dough. So imesh kazayis makom echad, if there's enough dough to make a kazayis in one place, chayev levayer. Now this is obviously tough old dough, right? It's really become adheres to the mixing pot, the mixing bowl. But if it's more kazayis in one spot, you have to get rid of it. Both mikam it's less kazayis, both miyuto, it is negated. Vechein lini atuma. It's the truth of the vituma as well. If you're makbid upon it, it's chotzeitz, it's chatzitza. Meaning, and you can't toivel the keli with this hard dough on it, even though it's been there for a long time. If, however, you want the dough to remain there, then hareu karev becomes part and parcel of the mixing bowl, and you can toivel with the dough there. Patzik ha-cheresh, silent dough. Now, the way the Yerushalmi interprets it means, if you tap on it, it doesn't make noise. So imyesh kayotzibo, and therefore you can't tell if it became chometz or not. I guess if you tap on it and it's hard, so it means it's not chometz. If you tap on it and soft, so there's a danger it's chometz, even if you don't see other signs of chometz, and that's why it's not making noise. So imyesh kayotzibo, if you sheichmitz, if you have dough made at the same time, which is ready chometz for sure, harezo aser. So too, the silent dough is also aser as well. Now, Chavraya b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Sima b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, "Beniklav kulo ka'achas." But I'm going to learn this whole story, by the way, like the Mashbiach. Actually, more or less like the Mashbiach. This is only talking about where does all the dough, the hard dough, adhering to the mixing bowl, where is it all considered to be a one unit when you can peel it all as one and create a kazayis? However, if there's a little bit here and a little bit there, and if you peel it, it doesn't make a kazayis together, because you have to peel a separate amount, so then it's not going to be a full kazayis. Akdulach, that's true where it's dry, because then you can peel it off. What about yavesh? What about where it's moist, because then you can peel it off. What about yavesh? What about if it's dry? If it's dry, you can't even peel it off. So me'achash ilo yelach would depend. We look at it as if it was still moist. If it's a situation where if it was still moist, it could be all peeled off. I feel yavish kaseder azeh. Then even if it's dry, then as long as it's in that with that consistency and in that amount, so it asers and you have to take it off and destroy that chametz. Now, the next four lines we skip, and we come back to them on top of our base. As Mashbiach points out, they're repeated almost verbatim on the base. Okay, and Amud Aleph. So let's skip now to the line afterwards. Ma'u miato. What if you had more kazayis, but you made it less than the kazayis? You didn't take off the whole thing. You diminished it, so now there's less than a shear. So what's the status in that case? Batel. Do I say it's batel? Or mikay machanira levayer? Or since at one point you had to take it away, so levayer school you have to eradicate the whole thing and not leave anything left. Now continuing along this vein, at echad. How much is considered to be connected vis-a-vis the halacha of connection? Savri Meimar, they wanted to say, Ad Ruba Shel Areva. it connects until as long as there's the kazayis is on less than a majority of the keli, so it's still considered to be connected. The moment it expands over more than the majority of the keli, it's so what's the word? So yeah, the opposite of dense. Diffuse. And so diffuse, so then at that point it's considered to be bottom. So Simon, ma, what's the status like this? Miet ruba shel areva. If it's less than the rove of the areva. Now, it's hard to know exactly how to read this line that it fits in. But the bottom line is that you diminish the density. So it's no longer that dense that the gazayas takes up to a rove of the areva, but rather somehow the gazayas is more spread out. Okay? Instead of taking some off, you diminish the density of it. So what's the halacha in that case?
Surface.
You increase the surface area, that's right, but diminish, so that's the question. Because by increasing the surface area, you made it less dense.
Right.
You made it more diffuse. Is that the same thing as taking off some and making it less than the gazayas?
Same volume, it's just in a different proportion.
That's true, but we understand just now we've established a ground rule that has to be a specific specific density throughout the mixing bowl, and you diminish that density, right? Since at one time it was not dense, so you have to eradicate the whole thing, and this question is not resolved. Neither of these questions are resolved. Of course, you knew that was coming, right? Now, we put over here what it says back there because it's more or less the same thing. So I'm going to go back to where it says Rabbi Yirmiyah. You see, it's almost the same thing. Rabbi Yirmiyah b'shem Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Yirmiyah named Rabbi Zira said, "Shnei chatzoi zeis m'sul chabayis." They're not inside the mixing bowl. They're in the house, right? Two halves zeisim. So ain't a bayis mitzarif. The house is not joined together. But so Hakli, if they're in a vessel together, then Hakli Mitzarev, then the vessel joins them together. So even if they're not connected, the fact that they have two Chatzoi Zesim in the same Keli, that puts them together. As the Gemara, how can you say this? But then we learn, Pachas Mikan Bata B'Miut. Then we learn which it's spread around the Keli. So it's negated. And certainly, if they're not connected at all, right, that's where you can peel them all together if they're moist. Here they're not connected. There's one chatzis over here and one chatzis over there. How can you possibly say they connect, that they're considered as one to form a kazayas? There's no connection between the two of them even, right? You're saying that the bowl connects them. Before we said at least have to be able to peel them together, right? So there's a more very interesting distinction. Kam betolish kam b'mechubor. Where they're adhering to the vessel, so they all have to be able to be peeled together, right? Because then you couldn't combine them. And that's why we look at how they relate to each other, because they adhere to the vessel. But where they're not adhering to the vessel, you just have a chatzis eyes plopped into the vessel over here, chatzis eyes plopped into the vessel over there, so then you could always join them together by hand, right? So therefore, since that is the case, the vessel makes them as if they're one. They're not, again, where they're adhering, they all have to be able to be peeled together. But where they're not adhering, right, because they're just plopped in there, so then even as long as they're in the same vessel, you have to eradicate them, you have to do mitzvah beer. Okay? I went back. That's the part which is not here, which is over there. Okay? Now we continue from the third line over here, which is where the redundancy ends. Quote from our Mishnah: "Im hikbiro lav chotze tula tefila." Right? We said if you're makbir, you don't want it there; it's a barrier tefila. Vim lav eno chotze tefila. Says Mar initially, he tefila he azoy. The same parameters apply to tefila apply to sprinkling por aduma ashes. Eno chibur latuma. Now the dough is not, doesn't transmit tumah to the bowl. Now everybody goes crazy. What does it mean, eino chibur l'tumah? Why shouldn't it transmit tumah to the bowl? If it becomes part and parcel of the bowl, of course it transmits tumah to the bowl. Right? It's part of it.
Depends if you can peel it or not.
What? Well, we're talking about a case where you're not makbid on it, right? We're saying not makbid, so it's not a chatzitza, but it's not a chibur l'tumah. So the Mashbiach is an amazing pshat. Mashbiach says, no, there was a mistake in the Ushami. What it said was, Eino ches lamed tes, Rosh Tevis. And what it really meant to say was, Eino chatzitza litvila. Since you're not makriya, you're going to leave it there, so it's not a chatzitza vis-a-vis tvila. But somebody who interpreted the Rosh Tevis interpreted them wrong. Instead of chibur chatzitza l'tuma, which was what the ches lamed tes really meant, he interpreted as eino chibur l'tuma, which of course makes no sense. It certainly should be a chibur l'tuma, right? Because again, the whole point is you want to be part and parcel of the vessel. So now, of course, it's mechubur to the vessel vis-a-vis tuma. Whatever is metami the dough is metami the vessel. Whatever is metami the vessel is metami the dough. So he just takes that line right out of there and says it's a mistake. It should be eino chatzitza l'tuma. Very creative. The Mecha Mayim, the Aruch HaShulchan, moves these words. He takes them off here, cuts and pastes, takes the words Eino Chavir Chivul Tum from over here, and puts them three lines down where it says before Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. That's how he solves the problem. Okay, so we'll learn that as we get there. So how do we know it's not a chatzitza vis-a-vis tuma? Minado, because it says our mission wrote to Bekuma who kavi kareva. If you want to remain there, it's an areva. Vimlav, and even if you don't want it there, now I'm going to explain this the way Lieberman explains it. Everybody has difficulty with this. Even if you didn't want it to remain there, but you didn't care if it remained there, so it's still kagufa shal areva. It's still like that areva. If you want it there, certainly, and if you don't want it there, but you don't mind if it remains there, so then it remains, becomes part and parcel of that areva, and therefore it's not a chatzitza vis-a-vis tuma. Okay? You can be vis-a-vis tvila. You can be toivel it as is, right? Now, the Mecha Mayim throws in the words, eino chibur l'tuma over here, right? That I'm sorry. Instead of eino chibur l'tuma, changes it. Also, it's not eino chibur l'tuma. Avol chibur l'tuma. That it is a chibur l'tuma. In other words, he moves the words here, and instead of eino, he writes avol. Okay, because it is a chibur l'tuma. And what's the proof of that? Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, "Kach shana Rabbi." This is what Rabbi Yudah Nasi said. Tzoa shetachas akise. Now, I don't know if this is literally excrement, but it could just be garbage or refuse. But to me, let's learn like excrement. You have excrement which adheres to a chair, and you don't intend to remove it. You intend to remove it there. Chibur l'tuma. So it is a chibur l'tuma. Whatever touches the excrement is the time of the chair. Whatever is the time of the chair touches the time of the excrement, because it all becomes part and parcel of the same object here, which is consistent with what our Mishnah says, right? That's a chibur l'tuma. Chibur eino chatzitza l'tvila. Rav Shimon Lakish, I'm sorry, Ve'eno Chibur L'Azoya. However, as we learned momentarily, for sprinkling Por Aduma ashes is not like that. It's not a Chibur. Sprinkling Por Aduma ashes on the chair, it doesn't work for the Tzoa, and on the Tzoa, it doesn't work for the chair. Of course, there's no reason to be Matar the Tzoa. Really, what it means is sprinkle on the excrement, it's not Matar the chair. Why not? We'll see in a minute. Rav Shimon Lakish, Rav Shimon Barkana said, Eva Meduldo. If you have a limb of a person which is dangling down, hanging onto a person's body by a thread, by a vein or an artery or whatever it is, but it's only hanging on just by a thread. It's permanent, I'll say, hanging, a nail which is hanging onto a person by a thread. But so shetach sakise, this excrement under the chair. Vihido kiruya, that which holds the barrel together, like the bars, the hoops on a barrel, the kiruya, and that which you put into a barrel in order to weigh it down, so it sinks to the bottom of a well to drop water. Rabbi Yosef Rabun Omar Af Kshus Shalikto, even if you have the hops plant, which you cut, and then it grew a little flower, I guess, where you cut it, it grows some sort of extension. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know exactly what the Metzias is. Chibur l'tuma v'eino chibur l'azoya. So all these things are said to be part and parcel of the object itself vis-a-vis tuma. One becomes tuma, the other becomes tuma. But it's not a chibur vis-a-vis sprinkling the paraduma ashes, but sprinkling the paraduma ashes on the hoops is not matar the bile, and so on and so forth. Ma'amin purim tuma v'eino l'azoya. Why is they not the same? I'm a Rebbe Law. Rebbe Law said, "Ba'zoya ksiv v'zo al ha'oel v'alkol kelim." You should sprinkle the paradum ashes on the tent v'alkol kelim. What does alkol kelim mean? Say al kelim. What does the word kol come to teach? It's superfluous. It means v'alkol ha'mekayim in shebekli, all the essential parts of the keli. Essential parts means not the accessories. And all the things we mentioned before are accessories. So and the accessory, if you sprinkle part of duma ashes on them, even though they're part, they seem to be part and parts of the kli, but the accessory doesn't work. So another example, that would be a handle of a pot. It's an accessory to the pot, even though it's mechubar to the pot. Hazoya has different parameters. You have to sprinkle on the thing, which is the actual pot itself. Okay? However, vis-a-vis tuma, bramacha lachem, it says the kol shu lutzorach lachem. It says tmeim yu lachem. Means everything which is for you, meaning anything which is a useful accessory of the object becomes tummy with the object, and if it becomes tummy, it's a tummy of the object. So the fascinating thing, the process of becoming Torah from Tumah is not the same, doesn't have the same promise as the process of becoming to tummy. That's what we're really saying here. Okay? Tamarim, we said over there, getting back to Pesach issues. Tamarim, we said over there, traktor. Now, nobody knows exactly what a traktor is, except for Lieberman, of course. And he says that traktor is like a bread box. He says that that's we're talking about stuff here to which, I'm sorry. On this plain motion says that Lieberman says the plain motion knew what he was talking about on this. Sorry, I made a mistake. I jumped the gun. So the plain motion says traktor is a type of donut, sufganiya. So try, if you're making traktor on Pesach, so here Rabbi Yitzchak Ma'abed Chad, should make one at a time. Trade class usher, but if you make two or three at a time, it's usher because the dough adheres to your hands when you're forming the donut, and it's going to become fermented over time. So it's usher. Ela in shazag yadim mayim, unless you wash your hands between making each donut. You have to wash your hands between making each donut. Tani. Now this, Lieberman says, only he understands what it is. Kibatios biratios. These are bread boxes. Kibat is like a container. Biratios, I assume, is the name of a place. Biras or something like that. So these bread boxes, so you have to check them, because chametz might adhere to them, which is the topic of our Mishnah, chametz which adheres to a vessel. Her Rabbi Yossi, b'ilim plulina. Now nobody knows again what this means except Lieberman. Lieberman says that this is from a Greek word, and he actually writes the Greek letters out, so I have no idea how to pronounce it, which is the equivalent of a place where you keep your mixing bowls. So it's a cabinet where you keep the mixing bowls. You have to check over chametz. Okay, now getting back to the batek hacheres in the Mishnah, cheresh, the silent batek, Rabbi Avobish and Rabbi said, batek shetine, it's a cold batek, it's cold, you cooled it down. So you don't know if it's fermenting or rising or not, so you have to compare it in age to another one. Lo yashram acher kayetzi bo shehechmitz. You have no other one there which has became chametz ad heichon. So to what point do you assume it hasn't yet become chametz? So it's best to compare. You can't compare and contrast whether you're going to determine it's chametz or not. So Rabbi Yaakov Achon, Rabbi Yulu, but the Kisorim, B'shem Rechina said, hakdei hiluch arba mil. Dough does not rise until 72 minutes. Or depending on what you hold, the shiur meal is 72 minutes, 90 minutes, or 96 minutes. So the Achorim say it's a tremendous kula. What do we hold the actual shiur? 18, right. So it's a tremendous kula. And he brings down here the Gilyon HaShaz, which means Kedei Hiluch Meal, not Arba Milim. So Lieberman brings down the Meir. He says that maybe this story about a case where you didn't see any apparent signs of Chimutz. In other words, you checked it out and you looked at the dough and it looked like it was kosher v'yosher, so then you get up to 72 minutes. You only get up to 18 minutes where there's reason to suspect that it already has started rising. Okay? Next halach. Ketzam afishin chalas tuma v'yantif. How do you separate chalas on tomei dough on yantif? So obviously dough is tomei, the chalas is not suitable for kohen. So it becomes mukta. And set it aside, and bacon is not ochel nefesh. What do you do? Rabbi Lezer may lo tiko lo shame, the woman should not designate as chala acheti ofe. Let's bake everything and then designate as chala. Rabbi Meser may tati l'tzom ben Meser says you set to take off the chala before you bake because you're not allowed to bake it because it's not for you, it's for a kohen who can't even eat it. So it's going to become chametz if you leave it around because dough will ferment. So tati so you put in cold water, which stops the fermentation process. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Shua says Lo zeh chametz shemuzhar la by rabbi motzei. This is not the chametz which is translated by rabbi motzei. Why? The Gemara will explain. El mafrashto menachas on erev. You leave it till you set it aside and you let it ferment until nightfall. V'chmitz v'chmitz and v'yikovs chametz v'yikovs chametz nishkefelch. Okay, says the Gemara. Masnisa Armin should tell you about mishenit meislacher gugula. When you came tomei after you kneaded the dough. That means you're ready, was b'chayim n'chala. Then our question is, what do you do? What's it's chayim n'chala? Amlim shenit meis kodem the gugula, but it became tummy before you kneaded the dough. See, I said a kav in making it small measures, and he makes it small measures each time a kav, so it's never going to become chayim n'chala, and you avoid the whole headache. So maybe I became tummy after it became chayim n'chala. U'v'shalosh b'yantzev, and says you shall be interesting zero, although I guess it's also, it doesn't look like it's in Bavli, but, seems to be the repulsion you show me. Shalosha biyantif. It's only if you need it on yantif. I mean, losha be'erev yantif. If you need it on erev yantif, and you just left it over for yantif in order to take off the chal on yantif, that is not permissible. No. Kada the tani, like we learned, halosh isa biyantif. If you need a dough on yantif, marvish chalos biyantif, you take off the chal on yantif. Losha be'erev yantif. But if you need it from before yantif, v'shachach li'fri la'fish chalasa, and you forgot to take off the chala, tough luck. Also, Tati, you may not carry the entire dough. It's all muksa, because you can't bake it, because you didn't take off the chala. Ain't so chumar li'toy man, as goes without saying, you can't take off the chala on yantif either. Now, says Yerushalmi, very interesting diuk. Ires lo amar elolash. It doesn't say here that when you were ores, meaning you put the water into the flour, it says you actually kneaded the dough. But we know you can already take off challah once you put the water and the flour together. You don't actually have to knead the dough in order to be chayv and challah. So it says lash. Why it say lash ha erase lo? Why do you have to wait to take off the challah until you knead it? Why can't you take off the challah immediately once you put the water in contact with the flour? So it says, this is specifically by a tomato. She'eno mafrish chalosa el basof. By a tomato, you only take off the you only take off the challah at the end.
I forgot why.
The end meaning when?
After you fully kneaded it.
Process.
Oh, I see. It's better always to take off the end. Because challah really has to do with the kneading, right? When you make reshis ariso sechem, Aris really refers, even though language we're using always means when you put in the water, it really means when it's dough you're supposed to take off challah.
When it's consistency.
So why, though, is there a minute to take off challah immediately? Immediately when you put the water and dough together, the water and flour together. Be'am Rabbi Yossi Barabun, B'din ha'yab Issa Torah shle'afish challah sel b'sof. Really, even by an Issa Torah, you shouldn't take off the challah until the very end. Takona tiknuba, they made a takona by dough which is still tar, shavishena tchila should take off the chal at the beginning, shalotid masi, so that because maybe in the middle of your kneading the dough it'll become tummy somehow. So ever they said take off the chal ASAP to prevent it becoming tummy. But really, even by chal toira, the idea would be to wait to take off chalah until the very end. By chal, when of course it's all tummy already anyway. So there's no point to do it at the beginning because what are you safeguarding? So there we default down to the preference, which is to take off or take it off at the very end. And that's why Mishnah clearly indicates they take off here, the challah, at the end when you're lash it, after you've already needed it. Okay? Masnisa b'yantav shel Pesach. Now, this braisa seems to be talking about yantav shel Pesach. In other words, when you made a dough erev yantav, you may not take challah off of it on Pesach. Sounds like it's a problem of becomes chametz. But if you made a dough, sounds like you made a dough erev Shavuos or erev Sukkot, you can't take challah off on Yontif. Says more no. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbun, Rabbi Huna, B'shem, Rabbi Acha said, I feel about Teres v'chag osir. Even if you made a dough on Shavuos or on Sukkot, you now take the challah on erev Shavuos. or Rav Sukkah is not allowed to take off the challah on Yontif. But why? Al shem ko melocha lo yaseh b'hem. It's part of the concept of melocha. Don't do any melocha on Yontif, on any Yontif that you could have done before Yontif began. Okay? So that's really the issue here. Okay? Ma b'no the knivas yerek. Why can you not take off true the challah on Yontif, yet you can cut off bad leaves of vegetables on Yontif? Now here it says show truma, but that's not necessary. The question is, if you can take off, if you can cut off bad vegetables, bad stalks of bad leaves of lettuce from a lettuce, why can't you take off true challah? They both have to do with fixing up the food preparation. This is more very simple. Zuria chila, lettuce. You can eat it, even if it's wilted and has bad stalks. So it's not misakin by taking off the bad ones. The stuff which is not chalad yet, you can't eat it. So therefore, that looks like you're misakin. Rabbanan Gesorin Boyin. Rabbanan Gesorin asked the same idea. With that, so I don't even bother answering the question. By mabino the barakitness beyond what's the difference between taking off challah and sifting beans on Shabbos, on Yontif. So the answer is obvious, of course, that sifting beans, the beans are suitable, right? Just you're making them more suitable. Supposed to chalas before you take off challah. It's not suitable at all. Okay, Ketzad Yasad Rabbi Lezer. Now, according to Rabbi Lezer, who says that you take off the challah, you don't want to. So he said, what's the difference between this and sifting beans on Yontif? And obviously the difference is the beans you can eat without sifting. It's just icing on the cake, icing on the beans. To sift them on Yontif makes them nicer, but if they're suitable to eat, challah is not. So Ketzi asked the Rabbi Lezer, how do you do according to Lezer? According to Rabbi Lezer, you don't take off challah until it's all over, until it's ready in the oven, right? So you do not do it at the beginning in order to avoid the chametz issue. So what do? Marim. You do this ruse. Vomri says, Zoni roitza luchov, Zoni roitza luchov. I want to eat this dough. No, I want to eat this dough. No, I'll figure out later which one I want to eat. All of them I want to eat. So not going to designate any of them as challah. Vaifes kula. Now, then you bake all of them. Ukshiroide, when you take them out of the oven, Marim, you also play ruse. Vomri, Zoni wrote to the Ashi, you say, this one I want to leave for later for the challah. Say, no, Azoni wrote to the Ashi, this one I want to leave for challah. You keep on choosing different ones. Umshayakas, you finally leave over one, but it's already baked, right? Still, you didn't designate before, and you only designate after it's baked. Now, Umshayakas asks more, Amle Rabbi Shul, lo nimtza, it's kisorev kachem yontif, you're not burning kachem on yontif. That's an interesting question. Korban Eidah and Pnei Moshe are very big machlokas here. Korban Eidah says, when you leave one over, you leave it over in the oven. And of course, you're burning it on Yontif. You're burning challah on Yontif, which is what we do when we bake. Every time we burn the challah. But you're doing mamash on Yontif. The Pnei Moshe, and then if I recall correctly, that's really the way the Bavli goes. The Pnei Moshe, though, changes. It says differently here. It says that, he says, you're not really burning it. You take them all out of the oven. And once they're out of the oven, you designate one as challah, and even in the bread basket to burn after Yontif is over. So that's the Gemara's question. Aren't you like burning kachem Yontif? Not that you actually are, but figuratively speaking, by designating one as challah, aren't you as if you're burning a Yontif? So the Korban Eidah is much more glatt, because according to Korban Eidah, you actually leave it in the fire. So my Rebbe Lezer says, me'aleim and nisrof, and they're burnt on their own. I'm not burning it, because I just left it in the fire, and I didn't bother removing it once it was baked, so that's okay. I'm not actually burning it. Amar lo, and Rabbi Lezer said it should be li Rabbi Yeshua. He said to Rabbi Yeshua, lo nimtzeis over by ro by motze. How can you say that this guy can leave over? Rabbi Yeshua said, you take off the challah, and even if it comes chametz, but it's by ro by motze. Why is by ro by motze? He doesn't own it. The Kohen owns it. Right, Kohen owns challah, but it's in his Rishus. It's his achrayus, right? Chal is Zacharias. He's responsible to make sure it gets to the Kohen, responsible to make sure it gets burnt. So he transgresses by Rabbi Motzim having it in his possession. Amalos, they said, Mutzav Lavar, Mitzvah Belotase, Shlobos Lefonov. It's better to transgress the Losase, which didn't come in front of him, in other words, Sheval Taisa. You didn't do anything, right? You just left it there after you designated his Chal. You're passive. Me mitzvah below say Shabbos upon her, as opposed to lav, which you do be a dayim, which is to burn challah on Pesach. It's true you only designate challah afterwards, and you left it in the oven afterwards, whatever you did. But you're doing something knowingly you're making something challah and baking it on child yontif and then burning it, even according to the Korban Eidah, which is transgressing yontif biyadayim. So it's better to do a transgression outright lav, but passively by just leaving it there, than to go and transgress a lav actively with a ruse like you're suggesting.
Now that may or may not become chametz if you leave it. I mean, it's possible.
That's true, but he doesn't take that into account, at least not yet. That it seems like he holds it's almost a psik ratio. Amrav Pinchas Bingel says, "Asin in plukso ki lim plukso plukso." This mel looks like the other machlokas. The tinian tamon we had over there, hanitoyim maton achas. You have blood which should be sprinkled four times in the mizbech, which got mixed up with blood which should be sprinkled one time in the mizbech. So Rabbi Leizer says you sprinkle them all four times. Rabbi Yeshua says you sprinkle them all one time. So it's the same idea over there. Rabbi Leizer says, how can you, Rabbi Leizer says, I'm Rabbi Leizer, if you say it's over a Baal Tigra, if you only sprinkle one time, you're going to transgress Baal Tigra, you're doing too few. I'm Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua said, if you say it's over a Baal Toysif, you're at transgressing Baal Toysif by doing more than one on the one which only supposed to be one. Amalo, so he said, Mutav lavar al mitzvahs lo sasei, mitzvahs lo sasei shalobas lefonai. Same idea, Rabbi Shua says there. It's better I should do one and not four, because then I'm transgressing a lava Baal Tigra, but I'm doing it passively. Mitzvah lo sasei shalobas lefonai, that to sprinkle the one should be sprinkled once, four times, when I'm doing Baal Tigra actively. So again, his name is for there, that even though I'm transgressing something, when I do it passively, it's nishkefer lach. Okay, we'll stop here for this evening. We'll continue here tomorrow night.
It's one of your hyperlinks.
It's a wild link to something else. But I think Bobby also made this link. Yeah. If I recall correctly, he also made this link.